How about we just start with prayer? Lord, we're just here for you. We're just here for the living God to go into our inward parts and bring forth Jesus. Lord, we're all hungry for real change within. We're hungry for life, not religion. Lord, for the Jesus we love and the feel of him on the inside, the way he can be instead of us. And Lord, that's not just a change of realms or a way of looking at things. That's a change of life. It's another life. It's another life and all that's wrapped up with it. And so Lord, we just ask that you would speak to our spirits, to our hearts, by your living word, because you're our Father. We're just vessels, vessels of your Son. We're just vessels here. We're just the clay pot. But there is treasure. There is eternity in us as a person. That's what we're listening for. That's what we're opening to. That's what we have within. Let that be why we've come together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, well, we're just going to see what the Lord has for us tonight, but I am going to read a few things out of the book that Pastor Randy gave to my class and all that followed after it at the Accelerated Christian Training Bible School. And this is the original notes that the Lord gave all those years back. I'm going to read some of them, then we're going to look at some scriptures, and then we're just going to see what the Spirit of God wants to do. All right. Receiving and walking in Zoe. Okay, let me read that. New birth is where we receive this new kind of life. New birth is greater than the forgiveness of sins. New birth is the action of receiving another kind of life, which is called Zoe life. God birthed into reality a new man by giving him a new nature. Since we are birthed and not just adopted, this means we have obtained the actual nature of our Father. A child from outside the family can become religious. Morals are related to conduct in the outward realm. The main emphasis should not be on how a son lives, but on becoming the son of your Father. Therefore, there first must be an inward change. We are sons of God by Christ and must become new birth conscious. When Jesus came, he not only laid down his own soul life, but he also imparted Zoe life into believers. When we receive Zoe life, that's the life of Christ, the life of God, there is a change of government and therefore a change of center. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, God said he would give man a new spirit and not a new body, not a new brain. Receiving eternal life, Zoe life, and living by it are two different things. Though many receive this new kind of life, we usually continue to follow the things in our minds and the sensory things that happen to us. Those impulses don't stop, but we must not be governed by them. A renewed mind puts on the new man and his reality, and does not let sensory impulses dictate its reality. As branches to the vine, we are not just to be Christians, but extensions of his life in such a way that it eventually manifests in the form of fruitfulness or in the form of nature. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm just going to read a couple of verses along these lines out from that chapter. But as you're turning there, and before I do, I just want to comment on some of the things that are there in those verses and actually in those paragraphs that we read. We've received another kind of life. I know we all know that. And you know, coming to Bible school and Bible school classes, there's always the temptation to learn about the life or make it a method. We all know that too. And we've talked about it a lot. But our hearts always skip a beat at even the thought of life taking over from within us, of something real, so real that we know we're different on the inside. We're governed by a different spirit and mind, and we're all so familiar with our minds and our attitudes and the way things drive us crazy, or the high-minded critical spirit that we have over stuff, or the pride that rises, or the rejection and the self-awareness and the defense mechanisms we have. And we're so familiar with our kind of life. We know it. We know the taste of it, the smell of it, the feel of it, the way of it, the mind of it, the walk of it. We know it because it's who we are, who we were in the first birth. And some of these sentences that we just read, they're radical in the sense that they're not saying that God came to just save fallen man from hell and shed his blood so that all sins could be forgiven, which he did, but not as the totality of, you know, that there's so much more in his heart. He did shed his blood and he did forgive the sins, but he didn't come to just take this fallen creature full of selfishness and pride and critical spirit and wounds that can never be healed because we're so rejected and we're so aware of our pain and what they did wrong and all the injustice and all the stuff that comes inside of our hearts and awful darkness. And he didn't come to just save that and make it so it doesn't have to get in trouble, so he'll just die. He came to give us another life, not another teaching. We all know that too. Not another teaching. Not another religion among all these other religions. The God above all religions. The God above all personalities. The God above all cultures. The God above all mindsets and reasonings and different ways of approaching life and doing things and understand. The God above all gods. The King above all kings. The one who governs all government, above all government. The head and principality of all powers. He who created all things. Who was from the beginning and will be when it's over. Forever and ever. He's not a religion. He's not a mindset. He's not a deep teaching. And he's not just a move that does something to forgive the penalty of something and then go back up. He created it all. He came down into it all and gave himself utterly so we could have a new kind of life. That we could be new creations in Christ Jesus, and that Christ in us could make all things new in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Why are we bringing that up in this class? Because if we say, just change realms, and we're talking to our doctrines or our teachings or just a quick step to just, I'm just not going to worry about that because, you know, we're not talking about just two realms that are somehow the yin and the yang and a certain approach to deal with trial and issues, demons and soulishness. I mean, it does. It does. The Lord gave it to help when we get stuck in the mire of those areas. But we have to realize, even as the things that are written in this first manual, I mean, this only works. I think it's right here. These impulses don't stop, but we must not be governed by them. No, I think there's an even better. This is it. This is on the first page of the notes. The key to changing what realm you live by is found in determining what life you live by, and if your mind is renewed. The very first factor that brings about any change is determining what life we live by. And that, folks, is why falling in love with Jesus is better than just believing in a doctrine. Because he came to be our life. He came to give us life and life more abundantly and a certain kind of life. Zoe life. Eternal life. Lamb life. The nature of God's life that gives itself. That gives itself. And we all know that. But oh, how wonderful when it starts, when he starts living in us. When he starts giving through us, and it's a different spirit. It's a whole different feel on the inside. And until something in us just begins to go, Lord, I will not be satisfied. I didn't come to the foot of the cross. I didn't make an altar out of this classroom. I didn't seek in my heart to know you and draw nigh to you. Just to even look in your face and glow or be moved deep in my emotions. I came to be changed into that same image from glory to glory, to bear another likeness, to have another heart, another spirit, another nature. Can we just say amen? Doesn't it almost seem too good to be true that God our Father would give us his Son? His Son. You put him inside of us. And he'd say, my Son is in you. He's in you. He's inside of you. And he wants to live. No, really, he wants to live right there. Right there in that impossible thing. You can do it all things. By the Christ I put in, my Son I put in you. He wants to breathe in you. He wants to give you his heart, his life, his nature. He wants to give you his spirit, not just his commands, but to fill every one of them up with his spirit in you. And he promised, he said, he came, he gave, he sealed with blood this covenant that he would write these things on the fleshly tables of your heart by his spirit. And it would no longer be like the old covenant. It would be a new covenant. It would be another way. A new and a living way where Christ in you, he'd fulfill it. Well, that's two different realms. That's two different minds. That's two different ways of approaching life. And, you know, one is that old sense realm way, that old mind of the flesh way. It's death. Romans 8 tells us it's the mind of the flesh is death. And that sense realm way, it's hard. The way of man is hard. And it's complicated. And it's confusing. And it entraps and snares our hearts. And it weaves us in its web. And we get stuck. And it's hard to get out of. But God sent his Son to be our life. So we could get out of the darkest pit, the deepest hole, the biggest mess, the greatest failures. He didn't just come to say, here's forgiveness, you're free. Oh, he would never stop there. He would never just say, there's another realm, just believe the realm. And magic woofle dust, everything's okay. Oh, his love is way too great. Just look in his eyes by your spirit. Just see him in his word by the dove. Just behold the Lamb of God in his nature. He would never just leave us without him. On the inward parts, he says, no, you're going to be made free. You're going to get out of this pit all the way. You're not just going to be set free. And I'm just going to throw you a rope. And the same old you that made you fall in that pit is going to climb out of it to fall back in again. No, I am going to give you liberty on the inside. I'm going to give you my nature. I'm going to give you a new spirit. A new heart, another mind, full access into everything that I am in my being. Full access through oneness because of the cross. You can, like a branch into the vine, you can draw my life. No matter where you're at, no matter how messed up you are, No matter how much your mind is carnal and you have failed and all those beasts are rising from the abyss, which is within us, our souls, no matter how many waves are crashing against our boat, you can come unto me. You can change realms. You can leave that old and enter in by faith to the new. By just acknowledging it with your heart, this union, this new life that I've given you, this access through my death that grafted you in, the entrance of the word that wants to be grafted into you, you can come. You can come. And receive boldly grace to help in time of need. But that grace is Him. That help is Him. And I just think sometimes we stray. I just want to say me. And maybe others have that tendency to stray from life, looking for answers, looking for freedom, looking for peace, when the answer is the Jesus we love. And we can just run. We can run. The righteous run and are safe. They run into that high tower, which is that cleft rock, that Christ that we are already in. And they are safe. We were reading it today in a Bible study in Zephaniah chapter, I think it was 2. It said, Seek meekness that ye may be hid in the day of the Lord, the day of the cross, in the day of judgment. Seek meekness, if it may be that you might be hid. And we were discussing how the Lord isn't, in our opinion, in our hearts as we seek Jesus by His Spirit, searching those scriptures and crying out. We don't think the Lord is just wanting to cover our flesh from being dealt with by the death blow of the cross, where He already crucified us, and wants to make that real in our inward parts. But He's saying, seek the Lamb, seek meekness, seek. Meekness, seek His nature in you. Seek to change realms by finding His Spirit in you. He's there. I mean, 2 weeks ago we were sharing at the same Bible study about the parable of the lost sheep. And we were just, you know, kind of comparing those sheep, those 100 sheep that were in that shepherd's pasture, to the motives. If our motives were like a flock of sheep within us, if our motives were like a flock of sheep within us. And there was something we'd lost, something we needed to find, one of those sheep that had gone astray, something that was no longer plugged in to His nature and allowing the Lamb to motivate, to be the shepherd of our soul, to be the life within our being, that we would go and find that. We would seek that sheep. We would seek the Lamb. We would seek meekness. And we would be like the woman in the parable after it, who would scour her whole house to find the one coin that she lost, her treasure, Christ in you, the treasure, in these earthen vessels, and say, I'm not going to lose the Lamb. I'm not going to lose the Lamb. I'm not going to lose Him while I'm trying to gain knowledge. I'm not going to lose the Lamb. Well, trying to understand spirit realm, sense realm, I don't want to lose the Lamb. While I'm trying to be a good Christian and a respectful minister, I don't want to lose the Lamb. If I'm trying to lead a flock of 100 sheep to the altar, I don't want to lose the Lamb. If I'm trying to be a vessel full of treasure, if I feel within me that there are sheep that are going astray, motives that are leaving the Lamb, if I feel within me that I've lost the treasure, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory, in this earthen vessel, that Lamb motivating me, that treasure in this earthen vessel, I don't want to lose life. I don't want to lose Jesus. I want the Spirit and His realm. and you just start searching. You just, that woman, she probably stopped everything. Maybe she had a job and she took the day off. Or that shepherd, he left the other 99. They were fine. But he found that lost one. And he said, man, I'm seeking life. And I'm seeking specifically lamb life. And I'm seeking him with all my heart. And then if you look at Zephaniah, this prophet is prophesying utter destruction to all flesh in the whole world. And it is pretty powerful wording. And he's speaking to Jerusalem and Judah that the Babylonian captivity is on its way. The Chaldeans are soon coming to destroy Jerusalem. But in the middle of all that, over and over again, this prophet says, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Don't seek to preserve your flesh or figure out what you're going to do in the crisis or how you're going to cope with this when it happens or what have I done wrong? How can I repair it? Or what fear, trembling, self-awareness, earth awareness. Instead, seek meekness. Seek the Lamb. Leave it all and find that lost lamb. Search the house for the treasure. Search the house of God. Zephaniah says that the Lord's going to be like lighting the candle of the Lord. It's going to be searching within the house of God, within Jerusalem, for those who seek the Lord, for those who are not asleep on their resting on their lees in Zion, saying the Lord will not do good, the Lord will not do evil. We're just going to kind of passively wait out the storm. He said, don't be passive. Don't wait out the storm. Don't think the Lord's heart isn't beating 90 to nothing to see who's going to draw near to him and find him and know him and seek meekness and get that lamb back on the throne and get life flowing through their branches again and become a house filled with glory and a vessel full of treasure, and the spirit realm is going to be real right down here in the sense realm because we're going to be a vessel of the Spirit of Christ. And it's going to change everything. It's going to change everything. But we got to seek it. We got to seek it with all our heart. We got to get a little crazy and say, I got one thing that I have desired, and that will I seek after, that I may inquire, that I may behold his beauty, that I may inquire in his temple. Isn't it just precious that the Lord has brought us in time and space, that he's created us. He created us. He created this whole everything. And he created you. And he created me. He created us to be full of Jesus. And then he gives us these precious days where we're walking on this planet. It's just a short little pilgrimage. We're not here for long. And then he brings us to the fellowship of the Word and people who love God and pour the Lamb into us and teach us of his nature. And then he gives us problems and all kinds of opportunities where we can learn him and live him and know him and fellowship with him and let him live through us and experientially know him, the height, the depth, the length, the width, that which surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled with all his fullness, that we might know the love of God. Experience that from within by his Son who is in us. Days can just be gobbled up by the sense realm. There's always sensory input to distract us from the treasure. There's always excuses to make it a teaching that tomorrow can become life. But the moment comes when our hearts are ready to let the sun, let him be all he wants to be in us at whatever cost. And our values change. And our perspective changes. The way we see things is different. Now we have Lamb's eyes. We see through his eyes. We see altar opportunities. We see fellowship with the Father. We see the beauty of a sweet savor offering. We see what it means to the Father to have his firstborn son give himself through someone. We see the joy in his face. We see the ministry to the Spirit who's always ministered to us by letting the Son come forth. We have brand new eyes, and they're all his realm. Brand new view of everything. Brand new hearts that open up brand new ways, that open up a brand new approach. Things start becoming new. And we're able to change realms. You know, one yes at a time, one heart turn at a time. We come together in times like this to encourage one another. While today is today, let's not harden our hearts. Let's not let the deceitfulness of sin and the things that entangle us in this realm, the senses, keep us from Jesus. Keep us from the one who's in us and his spirit and his life and his heart. I mean, you know, when it's all over, in our little time and space journeys, we'll look back and we'll go, Lord, that moment when I was with you, and it wasn't easy, and it required pressing into your wounds and letting your suffering be in me, and your mind go against all that old nature that you crucified. It was pushing me, Lord. It was pushing me in that sense realm, selfish direction. It was wanting me to be that old creation from the dust, that old man that was soulish, selfish, that wasn't filled with your nature, pushing me into that image, pressing me. And Lord, I chose you, and your life was there, and we were together, and it was you. And I sensed the Father's pleasure, and you know, those moments, those eternal moments, redeem years and years and years of wasted sense realm wanderings. And we can have as many of those as we choose, if we choose life. You know, it's not just a get out of jail free card, leaving the spirit sense realm to be in the spirit realm. It's a give Jesus a wife card. It's a give the Father his son card. It's a be who you were created on Calvary and in the bosom of God when he rose up his son from the dead. What you were created to be as part of Jesus' card. It's so much more. So much more. And you know, you could say, I don't know. What can I? You can just let that life flow. You know, Jude says, who speaks so much of living by the senses and being sensual or spiritual, I would really encourage y'all to just read Jude and read the whole book. It's only one chapter, in as many versions as you can find, and consider the things we're speaking of right now. But Jude at the end says, you know, pray in the Spirit and strengthen your faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, it's just a step getting that bubbling up life that's in you. The Spirit of the living God who wants to lift up Jesus in you. You've got Jesus and the Holy Spirit inside of there. You know, sometimes we just need to get that spirit realm moving on the inside. That's where he wants to move. The spirit realm wants to move within us. He doesn't just want to take our dried up, self-centered, carnal-minded old vessels up into some fairy dust realm of glory and deliver us into a more peaceful location. The spirit realm is the Father put the spirit of his son. He sent the person of the Holy Spirit. They're inside of us. We have the spirit realm in us. Where is it? David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I make my bed in hell, lo, thou art there with me. If I take the wings of the morning and I fly to the uttermost part of the sea, behold, there your spirit is there with me. We bear within us the spirit realm because we have the very life of the Lord and the Spirit of God within us. We need to stir that up. We need to let that be more preeminent than our senses, than what we feel, than what we think, than what our personalities dictate and our depression dictates and our circumstances dictate on our emotions and our mind responses and ping pong ball goes all around our soul. We need to stop and get that word, that engrafted word that's able to save our souls. We need to cry out and seek and press in and clean the whole house and find the lost lamb and find that treasure that's meant to be in our house and in the flock of our motives, that living lamb, that spirit and heart of God. We need to cry out. We need to seek with all our hearts. We need to draw nigh and say, Lord, I am not a sense realm being. I'm born of the Spirit, one Spirit with the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm born of the Spirit. I am born from above, out of Jesus, one with Jesus. I am not that old creation person I used to be. And I don't want to live like it. I don't want to think like it. I don't want to function like it. But I can't do it. It has to be the life in me doing it, that your Son that's there. And the Spirit lifting him up. You stir that up. Get in that Word and look in that mirror of the Word and see that image of the one who is your life. And be washed with the Spirit of the image of the one who's in the dead. Let the Word wash you. Wash you with Spirit. Wash you with blood. Let them all bear witness in one that you're born from above. You're of that realm. You're a one with Jesus. Let it be more than teaching. Let it be a washing. Let it be a fellowship of one Spirit, one heart. Oh, Lord, I bear witness with my spirit that this is who you put in me. And now this is who is my life. I am dead. And my life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is my life. Oh, that's not a motto or a slogan. That's my heart, my breath, my faith, my everything. Lord, I bear witness with the Lamb. I feel the movements of His mind and His nature wanting to permeate the way I respond. Don't let that sheep be lost in me. I don't want to have to run away and find Him. I want to bring Him home, straight into my motives, straight into my intent. Let Him sit on the throne. Let Him be the Lamb through me, Lord. I want to sing Your praises from deep within my heart in the dark night. In the dark night of my soul, I want to have praises in the night. I want to let the Lamb, I want to sing His song. I want to learn His song. I want to be one of those 144,000 in chapter 14 of Revelation that learns the song of the Lamb and sings from their innermost being, a song that no man can learn but those that will allow the Lamb to be life. Lord, I want to stand with you on Mount Zion. I want to stand with you in the time of trial, Lord. I want to separate myself spiritual and not sensual like it speaks of in Jude, Lord. And I want to continue to follow all the way to the altar, Lord, where I marry you. I take your name, which is taking your nature, and I yield to that. I yield my members to that and bear in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus and manifest spirit realm reality down here in the earth. Lord, let it be in me. Let it be in me, Lord. I may be the least, the worst, the proudest, the demon-possessed Mary Magdalene, Lord. I may be the Peter who has denied you. I may be the one who suffers with depression, Lord, and can't get it right. But Lord, you're looking for the foolish and the not and the ones that will let Jesus be all and in all. Lord, if you've given me your Son, I have exactly what it takes to fulfill the cries of your heart for come up here. Come up here. Come unto me. Live in the Spirit, and a door was opened in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And a voice cried out like a trumpet, come up here. Come up here. What are you doing? Seven churches down in the earth, in the trials and the tribulations. Why must I write letters and send them to you through messengers when you're already raised up, seated together, and in me? Why do you choose? Jesus would say to those seven churches, in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, why do you choose to live down there in all those trials when you could come up here? There is a door opened. Come up here. But John had to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day to come up here, to even hear what the Spirit was really saying. John had to be in the Spirit. And folks, we need to be in the Spirit to hear what the Lord's trying to say to us. We can't hear what the Spirit is saying if all we hear is through our carnal sense realm ears. We have to open our hearts, open our ears, hear what the Spirit is saying. See that door opened into heaven. Come up there. be with him. Behold the Lamb. Oh, how the Lord has shared with us from these chapters in Revelation for the past many years in ways so beautiful, so precious beyond all words. Soak in it until it's soaked into you. Turn the tapes on, the CDs, the DVDs, the MP3s, the WAV files, the whatever it is, Apple, Tune, iTunes. Just let it roll over your spirit. There is another realm. There's another realm. You'll see it all through the book of Revelation. There are those who dwell in the heavens, but really they're dwelling in God through the Lamb. They're those who encircle his throne and join with his nature and bear him in their bodies. These are those who are dwelling in the spirit realm. It's not just carnal Christians quoting, "I choose the spirit." It's people separating themselves unto God through the altar. I mean, Revelation 12, verse 11 says, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony," not just the word of the preaching, but the word of their testimony, "and they counted not their lives precious unto themselves." These are those who separated themselves unto the spirit realm. They loved the Lamb more than they loved their own life. They loved the spirit of the Lamb. They loved who he was, and they wanted that spirit to fill them and manifest through them at the cost of their own lives. They were witnesses. That's what martyr means. Witness is a martyr, one who yet lets that manifest. Oh, what a reality it is, boys. Boy, I think we can just, you know, we can make something so wonderful, so small and doctrinal, and then we're not going to be moved by it, and we're not going to be swallowed up of it. We're not going to give our whole life, spirit, soul, and body to know it with every fiber of our being. It's not going to become greater than our jobs and our families and our pursuits and our depression and our hobbies and our this and our that and our houses and our vacation homes and our cars and our pets and everything and everyone and everything in this realm is going to take a higher seat until we see how amazing he is in his realm. He is in his eternal being. Oh, then we'll be like the bride that has come up there, joined with him, and comes back down here to all those things, bearing his glory, bearing the glory of God, shining forth his spirit in all this realm that desperately needs his light, his life, his savor, his spirit, his love, his tenderness, his gentleness, his patience, his loving kindness, his mercies, his compassions, all that is of that realm, that when we chose that above all things, we bring it back down here, and all these things are blessed by Jesus. And that's what we see now in Ephesians chapter 3. So let's go there. I was supposed to go there until I did my usual thing, and you know, but I didn't forget. I still remember. The Bible's in front of me, and the Holy Spirit remembers. We give him all the glory. But let's read that now, having considered what we just shared. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Walk no longer as the Gentiles walk," as the sense realm people who haven't received the life of God walk, "in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality," the senses, "have given themselves over to the senses for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside that old self," that old sense realm self, "which is corrupt in accordance with the lust of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." And here's the spirit of that new life. "Lay aside falsehood, speak truth, every one of you with his neighbor. We're members of one another. Be angry, sin not though. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Let him who steal no more. Let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, Let's drop down to 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. How beautiful is it to have the Spirit of Christ in us and to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. To put aside that old man that's been crucified with Christ, who lives by the senses, and be renewed in the spirit of our mind to the image of the man, of the Christ, who is our new life, and allow him to fill us with his Spirit, producing attitudes and reactions and ways that are the fruit that bring great blessing to others, covering and love by his life, his fruit. And so, well, we must begin by choosing which life we want to live by. That's what we read from the manual, and that's what we've spoken of tonight. We have to choose. We don't just choose which realm do I want to live by. Am I going to go with the spirit realm or the sense realm? My flesh likes the sense realm, so I'll just kind of stay there. But when I get in a crisis, I'm going to just change realms and hop up into Jesus. That's a deceitful use of the Word of God, isn't it? There's deceit in that. We're deceiving ourselves, and we're deceitfully handling very precious things that do pertain to the very life of God's Son that was given to us at great cost. Instead, the choice should be, what life do we want? Whose life do we want? What life do we want to live by? And with that life comes the realm, its whole realm, all the fullness, all the benefits, all the wonder, and all that he is, and all that he will be in us. And the same is true for the sense realm, with all of its death and darkness. But we have Jesus. We have great hope. This hope is in us. He's made this of such surety, sealing it with his own blood on Calvary. And we hold fast to that. We hold fast to that. Even when we can't fully access all the life that's in the spirit realm in Christ, we're there. Our hearts choose him. We abide, we hold on until that engrafted word gets in there, saves our soul and fills us. But we keep our hearts single like David. We choose life. We choose his spirit. We choose the Lamb. We choose him for him. And we will be changed. We will be changed on the inside. And we will have his life. And it will be the most precious thing of our whole existence. It's why we're here. So Lord, thank you for Jesus. For hearts that love him and are drawn to the Lamb, the person, the wonder of him, the beauty, the undefinable, unspeakable essence of his being. Let that spirit go beyond what eye can see, ear can hear, heart can comprehend, man can teach. Oh, let it be released and received and fill the temple with its glory. Let there be more of Jesus, less of us, more Spirit of the Son, less sense realm, soulish, old creation, death. Let it be real, Lord. Use each day to seek meekness, to find Lamb, to bring him back home, back into the vessel, back into the flock, back into our hearts, and let life live again unto the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for taking time to love on Jesus together. You're such a blessing. I'll see you next time. Bye.